Hello, hello, brilliant entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. This is episode number 379, which means you can find all the relevant links and the show notes for today's episode over at tashcorbin.com/379. Today's episode is going to have us talking about your value proposition in particular, and I'm going to share with you three keys to strengthening your value proposition. So if you understand what value proposition is and you want to strengthen yours, this is going to be a good episode. If you have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to value proposition, even more important that you listen to this episode, because it's one of the core foundations of your business that help you to ensure that you are talking about your products and services and talking about your business in a way that is connecting with people's desire to invest in working with you. It's the connection between that looks like it's really cool and that's something that I should buy because it's valuable to me. So let's dive into this one. I've got some great free resources in the show notes, so make sure you keep that handy, which is tashcorbin.com/379. Let's dive into the episode, shall we? I'm Tash Corbin, and this is the Heart Centered Business Podcast. I've got some great free resources in the show notes, so make sure you keep that handy, which is tashcorbin.com/379. Let's dive into the episode, shall we? Okay, so first and foremost, what is value proposition? Value proposition is the value of the gap between before buying from you and working with you to after buying from you and working with you. And it's the value of that gap in the eyes of the buyer. So when it comes to selling an online course, for example, the value proposition of that course is, what is the difference in my life and lived experience going to be from now before I buy it to after when I've completed the course? Similarly, when you sell your VIP packages or a single session, or even when you get people to sign up for something free, everything where you're asking people to do something in return, whether it be give you money or give you their attention or give you their email address and some time, has a value proposition. What is the value exchange that's happening here? And so whatever that gap is between before buying it and doing it and after buying and doing it, whatever the value of that is through the eyes of the beholder is the value proposition. So it's important that we understand that it's through the eyes of the beholder, because different people will value a transformation in a different way and at different levels. Just like when you see someone create an amazing artwork and then they share it into a Facebook group and say, how much would you pay for this? One person will say $100 and another person will say $500 and another person will say $2,000. That is because the value of that piece of art is different from the lens of those different people. And so it's exactly the same with the value of signing up for and coming to your webinar, or the value of buying a single session with you, or your VIP package, or your online course. Is that for different people, they will value the transformation that you're speaking about in different ways and to different levels. So if let's say you offer services to help people to feng shui their home to achieve big financial goals. Someone who is in a job and they have big financial goals, but they don't have a lot of capacity to earn commissions or get pay rises, and so they're not really sure how they're going to bring in extra money, might attribute less value to working with a feng shui practitioner compared to someone who has their own business. The energy that they're in each day directly corresponds with how much money they make. They can see a direct line of sight between setting big goals and aligning to it energetically and going for it and achieving them, right? So different people in different situations will value that transformation differently. It's the same transformation, but they will value it differently. And the reason is because of that different connection with what is a priority for them. And also there can be a different belief in the ability of the product to facilitate the transformation. So, knowing all of that about value proposition, what are the three keys to strengthening and creating a stronger value proposition specifically for your paid offers? Well, there are three things we need to do, three keys that we need in order to strengthen that value proposition. Key number one is a viable, validated niche. Now, when I say niche, I do not mean topic or modality. I mean who you are focused on promoting that offer to. So, for example, with that feng shui example, the niche of people in a job who don't know how they're going to make more money but have big financial goals is different in what they're looking for and how you would articulate the value proposition compared to someone who has their own business and works in their home. And so therefore, if you try and market your product to both of those groups of people, it ends up becoming a bit vague and a bit fuzzy. And so therefore, the tangible value proposition of that transformation is harder and harder for that niche or lack thereof to understand. So the more specific and tangible and validated your niche is, the more likely you are to be able to create a strong value proposition. The more specific the niche, the stronger the value proposition can be. So if you are nice and specific and tangible about how you help people to get more sales on social media, and specifically who you can help to get more sales on social media, the people within that niche are far more likely to see you as an expert and value your input and your expertise than people who are not in that niche, or people who just randomly want to work on their social media, but you don't talk to any of their specific lived experiences. You don't talk to their specific situation. Therefore, well, you help with social media, but I don't know if you're going to be able to help me because of my specific needs. Everyone believes that their challenges and their goals are a unique combination. Their personality is unique. What they need is unique. And so the more vague you are, the more it feels like you aren't able to help me. The more specific you are to what's going on specifically for me, the more you are an expert for me. And so that can be a big resistance point for a lot of people, is like specifying their niche. But remember, it's not about the topic that you're talking about. So feng shui is not a niche. That's a modality, right? Relationships is not a niche. That's a topic area. So when I say niche, I'm meaning something very specific, who you are marketing your products and services to. If you need help with niching, I actually have a free training on that. I'll link to it in the show notes. It's called Nail Your Niche. So go to tashcorbin.com/379 and make sure that you watch that Nail Your Niche training, because it makes a big difference to understanding what is a valid, viable niche. And it also helps to walk you through the process, because for a lot of people, when I say, who are you marketing this to? The first thing they tell me is age, 25 to 45 year olds. And for most people, age is irrelevant to your marketing decisions. Therefore, it's not actually a necessary decision that you need to make about your niche. When people give me an age range for their niche, and they say 25 to 45 year olds, I'm like, so a 50 year old is not someone you want to market to? Oh, well, yeah, I could market. Well, then why are we specifying an age range? Is there a decision that you're going to make about how you market it or what you say in your marketing that's different for 25 year olds versus 45 year olds? Not necessarily. It's actually about the specific situation that they're in or the specific goal that they have. Well, then we don't need to talk about age. So don't worry about it. So if that's something that comes up for you, or if you feel like you need some help with niching, totally free, go to tashcorbin.com/379 and grab it out of the show notes of today's episode. So that's one key, niche. Key number two is that there is a tangible gap and that you are able to speak about that gap. So the gap is the difference between before and after. So in order to strengthen and make a stronger value proposition, you need to be able to talk about that tangible gap and how you bridge that gap with your offer. We need to believe that you can bridge that gap. So if you say to me, come and do an energy healing and I will help you quadruple your income, and you don't know what my income is, do I believe that just doing a one-off energy healing with you will quadruple my income? Probably not. You sound like a snake oil salesperson, right? Because I don't believe in the product delivering the transformation, I don't believe the gap, therefore I don't value the product or service, therefore I just do not buy. So a lot of people get caught up in this kind of cycle of having to consistently expand and expand and expand the outrageous claims of what their product or service will create or do. And the reason that they need to do that is because they've put the pricing up, or, you know, they need to create more urgency, or they're trying to increase the value proposition. But in a lot of cases, it just gets more and more unrealistic as an outcome. And that's a really good one to pay attention to, actually. I see it quite a lot in non-consent-based marketing strategies as well, where people will talk about like, oh, my client X experienced blah, 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 and then they had $1 million a month. And my client Y, blah, blah, and they're giving testimonials or examples or outcomes with no name, no visibility. Like, it's all done anonymously to protect the person. Like, why someone would want to be protected from being celebrated in terms of their results would be a little bit weird to me. But, you know, some people are a bit blocked about, they don't want people to know how much money they're making. But often it's because the result of that came from something that was unrelated to the work that they were doing, or that's fake and they've made it up, or they're kind of overstating the claims or overstating the result because they have this fear that if I don't state that it's worth $50,000, no one's going to pay $5,000 to buy it. That tangible gap, people will sometimes also do value-based pricing. So they'll say that they've got a course or a package that's available for sale, and inside that course, you get 12 modules valued at $4,000. And then you get access to the Facebook group, and that's valued at $1,000. And then you get these 6 live calls, and that's valued at $10,000. So the total value is $15,000, but you can buy it for $1,500. So they're using valued at pricing to artificially generate a gap. Because in non-consent-based marketing strategy, that is what you do. You try and falsely create or expand the gap between what you pay and what you get in return. And so actually value-based pricing in Australia is illegal. Not a lawyer, but go and check the ACCC website for two-point pricing or valued at pricing. And also, like, it just screams to me, like, you don't think your product is valuable because you have to tell me your Facebook group is worth $1,000 when you've never, ever once in your life charged someone $1,000 to join a Facebook group. So how is it valued at that price? And so for a lot of business mentors and marketers, the way that they justify it is that they say, well, that's the likely value based on the return you'll get from being in the Facebook group. But that's not what you said. You didn't say, well, it's likely that you'll get a return of about $1,000 from engaging strongly in the Facebook group. You said that the Facebook group was valued at $1,000. And that's a very different promise. And so that is, yeah, it's something that's a big bugbear of mine in marketing speak, and I could probably go on about it for hours, but I don't want to make this podcast episode super long talking about that. We've had those conversations before. I'm happy to have those conversations again. But you can see why people get caught up in this desire to artificially expand the gap, because it makes them feel that it's improving the value proposition of what they're selling. But in a lot of cases, the bigger you expand the gap to be, the more I have to believe that following your process is going to work. And often what then happens is you have to make the process sound so complex and involved, it just starts to sound like a lot of hard work. And to be honest with you, I don't really need that level of result. I'm happy with just like getting halfway there. But if you're telling me I have to do these exact 108 steps to have a six-figure business, for example, I don't want to do 108 steps. I'd rather do 12 steps and get to a $50,000 business than have to do 108 steps to get to a six-figure business, right? Like, it starts to become like, how much do I want? And do I really want this outcome? And honestly, like, the one thing I would say is, rather than trying to artificially manufacture the gap, why don't we just speak to the actual gap, the reasonable, realistic gap that you are going to bridge, and the short, sharp, focused way that you can express how you get people across that gap quickly, easily, and effectively, or more effectively, or more quickly, or more easily if they work with you. That is far more valuable. And that is going to increase your value proposition far more without the risk of turning clients off it, or making people think you're selling snake oil, or resorting to trickery and marketing tactics that often scream, I don't know how to talk about this. I'm afraid people don't think it's valuable. So therefore I'm going to overinflate what I think it's valued at, or I'm going to overinflate the results people can expect. And all you're doing is creating unrealistic expectations and demanding refunds. So Don't do that. Create the gap by speaking to the before and after that is reasonable, that fits the niche. Now, the other thing I want to say when it comes to the tangible gap is, stop underestimating your client's ability to get themselves somewhere. So something else that happens is that when people try to create that gap, they paint a picture of the before that is so disastrous and so horrendous and so miserable and so incompetent that no one is experiencing the before. So then the after feels like it's less relevant. So I see this happen quite a lot, where people say, like, you're tearing your hair out trying to get your social media content done each day. And people are like, well, no, I'm not tearing my hair out, but I just don't enjoy the process. So then your product doesn't sound like it's for me, because I'm not tearing my hair out. I'm not frustrated on a daily basis. I just don't enjoy it that much. And I want something that's more enjoyable. That's really the big problem I want to solve. Or I don't like having to do it daily. I'd rather just get it all done at once. So don't talk about the before as though it's crisis mode all the time. Because if you do that in your value proposition, and all the befores feel really hard and gross and yucky and blah, 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 right? Then you can often be turning away the very people who are the most ideal clients, because your most ideal client isn't in misery right now. They are not flailing about thinking that there's no way to solve this. They are not tearing their hair out every single day. They've tried some things, they've worked on some things, but just didn't get the result they were looking for. Or they can see that they're stuck in a certain area, or there's something specific that seems to be getting in their way consistently. Speak to that, because then you're actually going to resonate with people who are willing to take action. You're going to resonate with people who aren't in crisis. They're just looking for a solution. You're going to resonate with people who haven't tried every possible method. They've just tried a few and they're looking for something that's a bit more aligned with what they need. And so sometimes we catastrophize the before so much that we end up turning away the people who are ready to invest and start resonating with the people who think that there's no answer, and they're still all flailing about in nothing will work mode. And so they're not even open to hearing about your solution or your product, because they actually fundamentally believe this is an unsolvable problem. Has anyone done that before? Because you're trying to create this big gap and you don't even realize you're doing it, or you may not have done it from a conscious perspective, but that's the type of messaging that you fall into, because at some level, you believe that the bigger the gap between the before and after, the more people will see it as valuable. But then if you step away from or drift away from a before situation that people resonate with, the after can be as pretty as you like. They're not interested because they don't think that they are a right fit for it, because they're not in that catastrophe kind of space. They're not in that desperation space or this is unsolvable space. They're actually great action takers and they are actively looking for solutions. They just want one that really feels like it's going to meet their needs and get them where they want to go. Yeah, great. So number one was niche. It's a key to strengthening your value proposition. Number two is speaking about that tangible gap in a way that's meaningful for your audience and helps them to believe that you can get them to the after. And then the third way that you create a stronger value proposition is by aligning the outcomes you help people to achieve with what's a priority for them. So this is where you can often tie yourself up in knots trying to meet everyone's needs or trying to convince people that they should prioritize what you have to sell above what they currently prioritize. Neither is what we want to do. What we want to do is understand for your niche, who are excited about bridging this tangible gap, how does that gap align with what they naturally prioritize first? So if your niche naturally prioritizes their family first and foremost, and you help people to spend less time in their business, then what is the priority that they have that you need to align saving time in your business to? More time with your family. Spending more time with your family. Going to sports day with your kids. Having more time to go on adventures with your family, right? That kind of thing. If that's what their priority is, then you can connect with that. If your niche, number one, above everything else, prioritizes making money and financial freedom, then telling them you help them save time so they can spend more time with their family probably won't resonate as strongly, right? It's not as strong of a value proposition. Instead, if you said, I help you save time in your business so that you can scale up to larger audiences and make more money in less time, then someone who values financial freedom above all else and creating that financial future for themselves is, and that's their priority where they're focusing their energy and attention right now, then that's going to be far stronger as a value proposition for them. And this is where we need to make a decision about your niche, because the key to that tangible gap being effective and communicated well and aligned with what people want and aligning that then to what they prioritize requires you to make a decision about who niche is. And it requires you to make a commitment to spending some time talking to and expressing your value proposition to that niche and understanding what they're looking for and understanding what their priorities are. Because the longer you try and appeal to everyone, the longer you will continue to appeal to no one in particular. And so that is really where that tangible, viable value proposition comes from, and really strengthening that. So I've already let you know that with the show notes of today's episode, you can grab my Nail Your Niche training. That's over at tashcorbin.com/379. But what I also want to pop in there for you is a link to my core messaging freebie. Now, this is where you get to write out your value proposition and your bridge messaging and your niche, and using the prompts and the guide that I give you to test and see if you are able to actually express your value proposition, if you actually know what your value proposition is. Now, for a lot of people, they're like, oh, I had no idea about this. But when they actually sit down to fill it in, they nail it. For others, they're like, oh no, I've got a really strong value proposition. Like, I help people make lots of money, so it's really easy, but it's just not getting sales. It's just not getting people signing up for it. I don't know what I've done wrong, because the value proposition is not the problem. I need better marketing. But when they go to fill in this core messaging document, they realize they have not articulated all elements of their value proposition, or they haven't articulated their value proposition in a way that's meaningful for their niche. So I highly recommend, regardless of whether you think your value proposition is strong or not, to go and check that one out. I'll pop it with the show notes of today's episode as well at tashcorbin.com/379. And that is the core messaging freebie that just helps to walk you through the process of mapping out what is your niche, what is your value proposition, and what is your bridge messaging. And when you've got those three pieces together, that's a strong core message on which you can build your offers, your social content, your blogs, your podcast episodes, all of it. So long as we've got that value proposition really clear, you're going to make sure that everything then is aligned to bringing in audience that are hungry to buy your offer, that understand and value the transformation that you facilitate. And it's going to make your sales and marketing processes far easier, because you're speaking to an audience who actually wants what you are talking about. So make sure you go and check all of that out at tashcorbin.com/379. And until next time, beautiful people, I cannot wait to see you shine. Bye for now.
Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashcorbin.com today.